Be turning to three places. Malachi chapter 3. Matthew 21. And 1 Corinthians 14. And most of you know that Sue and I started here in June of 1992. Michael had led us to the Lord in 1980. And we got Spirit-filled. So we had 12 years of living the Christian life, the best we knew how. And Michael was with us for the first couple of 3 years. I don't remember exactly when he moved to Indiana. But, you know, as long as he was our primary teacher, we did pretty well. And he never really taught us anything wrong. He's sitting right here. I'm just the truth, you know. So I ain't bragging if it's so. But now once he left, we were at the tender mercies of the TV preachers and other preachers around town. And when we were first born again, the love of God really, can y'all feel the love of God when that guy ministers, you know, the same way then, you know? And when we would give, not just in church, but especially if we found out somebody, we found out somebody was broke or they didn't have food in the house or they're behind on their bills. And that's really all we had to know. I mean, it was just, okay, what have we gotten? And we'd meet that need the best we could. It wasn't just us. Others, you know, in that group would do the same thing. And our motivations in the beginnings were pure. I got to tell you this. When I first got saved, there was a massive change in my heart regarding money, even that first week. Up until that time, my whole life was about money. I mean, every decision I made had to do with, you know, how is this going to help us financially? Where are we going to live? We're going to live in the right part of town. We're going to, you know, so we did. We had a really nice house in the right part of Tulsa. We both drove new Cadillac cars. I had really fancy suits. And that's what my whole life, every decision I made was, how is this going to affect us financially? But once I got saved in 4th of July, 1980, that left and never came back. I never could really be motivated as far as my life regarding money again. And then we got, you know, and there in those first few years, our giving was pure. What I mean by that, Dave, I love the way he's saying it now. I wouldn't have said it that way then, but I think Dave's hitting it right perfectly. When he says, you know, for the mature believer, when he gives, the last person on his mind is himself. And that's the way it was in the beginning. We had no thought of it. It was just, you've got a need, we've got a supply, we'll meet it the best we can, and we rejoiced in that. The joy was meeting the need, you know. Well, like I said, over the next few years after Michael moved to Indiana, then we were at the tender mercies of the teachers in the 80s, and you know them as well as I do. I'm not going to list names. And slowly but surely, they turned our thinking. They developed a seed-sowing mentality in us. You got to sow your best seed to meet your need. They would take us to Malachi. Let's go. Let me go there myself. And this one's going to be important in a minute. They would always thunder at Malachi. See, Malachi is a true prophet of God, and everything in Malachi was absolutely so under the dispensation of the law. This was exactly how they were to prosper, and it was a timely word from a true prophet to the people of Israel in their day. And they were robbing God. So, you know, you've all heard it at offering time. It's been a while. You don't hear it often in this church, so let's look at it here. Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. Malachi 3, 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And Alan was very transparent today, and this back in the day when he had been taught by the same teachers. This lady came for prayer, and Alan Taylor, he asked her, he says, but do you tithe? Well, no, I haven't really been real faithful in my tithing. He says, I'm not even going to pray for you. Well, you're under a curse. I told Sue's sister, Shirley, that same thing one time. See, that's how we were trained. We were absolutely trained to believe that. So, and by the way, later I repented. I gave her a car later. This is why I'm glad there's no tapes from the 80s, okay? I'm glad there's no tapes of Gary Carpenter from the 80s. So verse 10, let's go ahead and get it. It said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before their time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, that's good enough. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14 just for a moment. Then the meat is going to be in Matthew. Well, Malachi was in me as truth. I thought that was absolutely true the way they taught it. I thought the hundredfold return was true the way, you know, they lifted another verse out of its setting, out of the New Testament, and said, you know, you can't leave, you know, houses, lands, brothers, sisters, except you receive a hundredfold in this life and in the life to come, eternal life, or something like that. So another one where they, you know, so that one they said, if every dollar you give, God's going to multiply back 100 times. I believed it. I taught it. One other one. Let's see. The 30, 60, 100 fold. All of those things. You watched some of the same channels I did. Okay. and there, Cornelius offering, you know, you got to get God's attention. You just haven't been given enough. You know, that's why you're not healed. But I believe the widow's mite. And so even if you were down to your last bit of your money, you know, do you buy food or do you give? Well, I'd tell them to give, see? Well, now, so I had been, the point I'm trying to make, I had been delivered from, on the inside of me, whatever it's my, I'm not enough to know about the self-ego nature, okay? I just know that Gary, born-again, spirit-filled Gary, had been convinced those things were true. I'd been delivered from seeking after worldly money as being my primary goal. I really wasn't doing that anymore. But what had happened now, my heart was still very much about money when it came to giving. And it turned, it took several years to get me that way. But boy, I got that way. And every time I gave, it was more about me, my harvest, my hundredfold return, meeting my need, than it was about you. Religion will make you stupid. Anyway, that was free right there. Okay, we come to this church, start praying in other tongues. Try listening to Dave. Dave is teaching, to be honest with you, about 9 miles over my head. I'd come to these services and I'd thank God for the humor. We had been really hurt, or in our own, you know, we felt like we'd been hurt. We needed to laugh. I love listening to some of those tapes from the 90s because when Dave is teaching, you can hear that laughing in the background. That's Sue. When she really gets tickled, she can't hold back, you know. And we needed to laugh, and it was so healing for us. But the doctrine, to be honest with you, was so far above our heads that we had a hard time. We'd be driving home, and I'd go, honey, are you better? She'd go, yeah. I said, well, me too, but I don't know why. I couldn't understand what Dave. It's kind of like one lady, I think she really said it right one time. She'd been coming to the prayer center for a little while. I said, well, how you doing? She said, you're trying to get a drink from a fire, you know, from a fire hose, you know, a fire hydrant, trying to get a drink from that. That's kind of the way we were, but we were getting enough. Dave kept talking about this verse in 1 Corinthians 14. Of course, number 2 is the signature verse. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speak in mysteries. And of course, the classic question that Dave would ask. Okay, there's two that we can tell. Two things are going on when you're praying in tongues. Number one, you're talking to God. Number two, mysteries are being communicated. Now, here's the question. How many of you think that while you're praying in tongues, you are explaining mysteries to God? No, he is explaining mysteries to you. See, and if you come on down here to verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. And so Dave went through this long scenario, if y'all remember, about edify, and you look it up in the dictionary, and it means to be charged up. How many of y'all remember? Now you hook it up to a negative post and a positive post. You're praying in tongues. You're edified, and you don't know why. No? No? It's a renewing of the mind process. It's Romans 12, 2. But you're getting help from the inside out. The Spirit has become the teacher of your new nature. Instead of... See, I'll tell you right now, the Holy Ghost didn't teach me that stuff that I learned in the 80s. Holy Ghost didn't teach those preachers that stuff either. Their natural mind taught them that stuff with a greedy nature. Okay? And you can argue about that all you want, but it's the truth anyway. Holy Ghost didn't teach that stuff because it's not true. Okay, it's not true for our dispensation. Malachi was true in their dispensation. But let me show you the operation of the Holy Ghost, because even though I couldn't understand most of what Dave was teaching, I did get it about he thought I ought to pray more in other tongues. I got that part. So in December of 1992, see, I know what happened. I was there. I was stuck in the cab of that truck. I couldn't meditate more. You can't drive a truck and be reading the Word. Okay? It wasn't more meditation. It wasn't reading my Bible more. I quit listening to teaching tapes. I quit watching the TV preachers, so it wasn't that. The only thing, and I couldn't come to many of the services here. It wasn't that. I would just come when I could, but I was out of town most of the time. In engineering school, we would run lab experiments. And the way you really run a lab experiment to do it right, you have a situation, and you just change one variable. Then you see what happens. Then you put that one back and you change another one. The goal is to change one variable at a time. Well, I know in my life, the only variable that changed was the amount of time I was spending praying in other tongues. So I began doing that. Most of y'all have heard that story, and I mean, it was a lot now. I mean, you got to remember, Sue and I were 45 the day we walked through the doors of this church. We were already middle age, and I didn't have decades to learn this thing, So, man, I jumped in with both feet, and God had me in the, God is so good. He had me in the perfect job. He knew I was going to one day come here, and he had me in a job. If you want to get, I was getting paid to pray. I mean, the perfect job. So I was praying 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and it's amazing. I had been filled with this same Holy Ghost for 12 years. 12 years. And those teaching visions never really came during that 12-year period. Yet I start praying a whole lot in other tongues, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. And just like Dave said, they began to come. Then another one would come. Then another one would come. I've shared with you some of those. Some of them I've shared with you. Some of them I haven't. I'm going to share a little more with you today on one of them. Now let's go to, see. Oh, now the reason that it says this, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. What happens? You're going to see an edification process through this example. He had to set me free from some false doctrine. And by that process, I was edified. I wasn't taught it by man. I was taught it by the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Let's go over to Matthew 21. So I was praying praying in other tongues in the trucks a lot. And as I've shared with you, some of the visions that first came, and they're just little teaching visions, and I'd write them down. Then sometimes I'd hear him say something, I'd write it down. Sometimes it's just revelation. One minute you didn't understand a passage and you've prayed that mystery out, and the next minute you did. You don't know how, but you just know. Well, but one day I went through a period where I had a lot. When you have those on a regular basis, it makes you hungry for the next one. Well, I'd prayed a whole 10-hour shift and didn't hear a thing. I prayed, I think it was halfway through the next shift, 5 or 6 hours, and I hadn't heard a thing. And I just asked him, just kind of asked him a question. I knew he didn't have to answer, but I said, Lord, I've been praying for about 15 hours here. I haven't heard a thing. I've seen no vision, haven't heard your voice, haven't had nothing. I said, what are you doing in me right now? While I'm praying in tongues, what are you doing? And I've told you the answer before. He said, I heard as clear as you're hearing my voice, I'm driving the money changers from the temple. I went, what? Well, I remembered this Matthew 21 is one of the places where that's recorded for us. Starting in verse 12, it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then notice, only after he had driven out the money changers, once they were gone and he was in the temple without them, only then, verse 14, did the blind and the lame come to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now, this is before the cross. This is in the time when God still dwelt in a temple made with hands. Y'all know the story of the Old Testament and how you had the outer court, the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. And you didn't dare go behind that curtain because God's presence dwelt there. And if you stepped in there, you'd just die. Well, at the resurrection of Jesus, at the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God doesn't dwell now on this side of the resurrection in a temple made out of earthly stones. It says God today dwells in a temple made out of spiritual stones, lively stones. That's the spirits of just men made perfect. That's us. You are the temple of God. So I understood that. He says, if I'm going to dwell in you, I'm not going to share my lordship with money. Remember when he said in Matthew 7? You can't serve God and mammon. There's not going to be two lords here. And he won't take up his place as Lord in you as long as you're still serving money. Can you see that? That's what this is? He drove out the money changers. Then the lame, the blind. So I understood, okay. All right, I got it. And I knew, as these thought processes were going through my mind, I knew even then I had been delivered from a whole lot of money compared to how I was before, 12 years earlier. But I'm going, what are you talking about now? Well, I didn't know what. Usually at this point in the, this is the end of the testimony. Let's go on a little bit farther. I want to show you now, because I continued to pray in other tongues. He that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, no man understands him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speak in mysteries. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And he that prophesies edifies the church. See, what I'm doing tonight, I've already been edified in the area I'm about to show you. I'm coming here tonight to speak that to you, and then you'll be edified. That's what it's talking about. First, you have to be taught. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 2. He speak those things which the Holy Ghost teaches. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. See, it's okay for me to come and teach you what the Holy Ghost taught. Well, I kept praying, and then, you know, different times, different things would come up. A lot of the revelation that he began to give me to drive the money changers, and this time it's not money changers like pursuing the money. This time it was religious money changers. I had a lot. When I gave, God, it didn't please God that when I gave, I was giving with greedy motives. Because that's not him. That's not his nature. He gives because it's who he is. He gives to bless you. Okay? Well, he's looking at my heart and he knows I'm giving to bless me. I'm giving to get, basically. I need to be edified out of that. So a lot of the written lessons at my website and also the audio lessons over in the Kingdom Finances section, many of those revelations had to do with him getting me free from religious money. Can I say it that way? Now, but one in particular, let's talk about Malachi, because Malachi is the Holy Grail. It is the reason I'm not invited to more churches than I am. They're afraid I'll mention Malachi, because the tithe is still their source. And that's okay with me, because they're right. I probably will. Unless the Holy Ghost tells me not to. But here's what happened. I'm minding my own business. Now, how many of you have heard this? It's not really you have to give the tithe, and the tithe is what opens the windows of heaven. We read it there a while ago. But really, that only opens the window. And the amount of the offering that you put through there, I'm seeing some heads nodding, that determines the amount of your blessing that he's going to pour you out onto your fields. Have y'all have heard that? Well, I'm praying in other tongues. I mean, I believed it. I believed it. For 12 years, I believed it. I still believed it when we started here. I'm praying in other tongues. He's already told me now he's going to drive the money changers out of the temple. One day I'm just praying, minding my own business in those trucks. All of a sudden, here comes one of those teaching visions, and I'm standing in front what looks like a giant castle wall. But there's a window right in front of me. Now, y'all know how visions are. You know stuff, and you don't know how you know. I knew that I was standing right outside heaven's gate. I mean, this is, God lives in there. I'm in heaven. That windows of heaven that I need open, that's the window that's right in front of me. But it's closed shut. So I'm looking at that window and I'm going, man, that's the window I need my blessings to come out of. If I could ever get that window open, then the blessings of God would pour out on me. How do I get the window open? And about that time, a TV evangelist appeared right next to the window. Don't ask me which one. I'm not going to tell you. Right next to the window. And he said, throw money at it. And so I'm reaching. I'm getting some money out of my pocket. And I'm about to throw money at the window. And he says, wait a minute. And he went and got some buckets. And he put his buckets underneath the window. He says, now go ahead. It'll open the windows of heaven. So I'm standing there and I'm throwing money at it. And I throw money at it and nothing happens. I look at him like it isn't working. He says, you're not throwing enough. He went and got some more buckets. I reach, you know, and I'm throwing everything that I've got at this window. And it's crazy how dreams are. I mean, this is a medieval castle, but it had a modern wooden window, the kind you raise like this. So anyway, I'm finally, okay, enough of this guy. I'm over there and I've got a hold of the window and I'm trying to open you window. I've already thrown money at you. I've been throwing money at you. Open, open. That went on for a little while and then I don't know why it happened all of a sudden. For some reason, I looked through the window. Oh my God, there's the throne of God. There's God the Father. There's Jesus sitting right next to him. Now, I know what Alan taught, and he's true. We're in Jesus. Okay, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. But in the vision, let the Lord teach me here. There's God the Father, God the Son. And I'm looking, and there's Gary. And I'm seated right next to Jesus. And he's looking at me. And I can tell, Gary is so embarrassed at me. Then it suddenly switches. All of a sudden, now I'm Gary on the throne and I'm looking at my soul. I'm looking at myself outside the window. I'm out there throwing money at the window, throwing money at the window. My spirit, the spirit Gary, he's seated on the throne. He turns to Jesus and I put my hand right on his shoulder and says, I have to apologize for my soul. He's been listening to the TV preachers again. I keep telling him to stop it. He's convinced he's on the outside. Just a minute, just a minute. Hey, dummy! Go around to the door. It's open. Everything in here belongs to us. I was edified. Built up. No one's ever been able to put me under the curse of the tithe again. See, once that happens to you, you're dangerous. You can't go back and it's good. Now that was just one. I could take you, there's others that are written at the website, the sharecropper mentality versus sonship mentality. See, you can verify it all with scripture. Look, Malachi was correct to his generation. Those people were not seated in the heavenly places in Christ. They were on the other side of the cross. God was doing all that he could, making a covenant with the spiritually dead people. And that was part of their covenant. But honey, sir, ma'am, mister, if you're born again, you're not in that covenant. We're in a better covenant established on better promises. You have been quickened together with him, raised up together with him, and seated together in him in heavenly places. We're already heirs. And the modern preachers are doing everything they can to put you back under works. When the truth of it is, they're trying to get you to get something God already gave you. Well, people leave the church all the time. I know, the beatings are severe. Hey, if you've been thinking about moving here to go to the prayer center, think again. If you can't establish a prayer life there, don't move to the bullseye. Don't move to the bullseye, okay? I mean, if you come, we'll help you all we can. But see, I don't know I feel like, you know, I did that service, a couple of weeks ago? You know? Well, that's it. We're offended now. We're leaving. Well, there's the door. That's the way Jesus did it. He turned. They left. They got offended at some of his teaching, you know. And he just turned to the 12. What about you guys? You going to leave too? And they said, see, that's the thing. You don't know how many times Sue and I have... I mean, it gets so hard. You know, you think I haven't thought about going back to the first church where they think I'm nice? You know, I think I'm okay? Like, just like I am, you know? See, gee, manny, this warfare is tough. And then we'll, you know, the thought will cross our mind for a little bit, and we'll talk, though. We'll go, where would we go? You going to go back and sit underneath that false doctrine again? I'm not saying every place else now. We're not a cult, okay? I know a lot of people have truth, okay? All right? But where are we going to go? I don't know any place else unless they're a satellite. You know what I mean? Is they're affiliated and doing the same message. Like, you know, I'm not going to go back and sit underneath that old covenant false teaching again. I'm talking about die on the vine. It's starved smack to death. I mean, I don't understand. It makes me think they never have done it very much. Or just enough. Maybe they've done it just enough to get the devil's attention. So, you know, two flat tires and somebody talk ugly about them later, they're gone or something. But once, listen, my computer is filled with hundreds of edifications like that. That is our ministry. That is what I do. And I know how it came. I remember the days of trying to understand the Bible with my mind. I remember that. And started reading a passage. And it's a good, okay, this probably has to do with the self. The ego self, get that guy. He was going to understand the Bible, right? Bless God, I'm going to understand this. So I'd get my, this is the early days, I'd get my Bible out and I'd start reading a passage and you come to a word you don't know. Well, okay, let me go get my, and I didn't have a computer in those days. Really, you had to go get your Strong's. Remember that? Funk. 1,684, okay. And okay, but still, that wasn't, you know, it's too short, okay? Wonder what Vines has to say about that. So you lay your Vines on there. Then, you know, and then after a little while, Matthew Henry, he had some good stuff to say. Let's go get his commentary out. Then how Dave says it, you're woosed, you're weeks, and you're strong. Pretty soon, my whole kitchen table, you know, I mean, I got all these books and commentaries. And after I got through, still didn't know what it meant. Those are all out in my garage. I mean, you know, I told you the story about that time. Somebody gave me a really nice set. I mean, it's volumes. Really, I mean, they look impressive. I like to have them in my office so when people come in there, they go, oh, this man is a scholar. I never read those things there. But they look really impressive, though, you know. Well, anyway, okay. Well, I'll finish that. Some of you haven't heard of it. Jim Martin called me one time. Because those books eventually went out of print. They really look good. I mean, it's a complete set of New Testament. I didn't have the Old Testament. Something like 20 volumes. I mean, you know. And he called me one time. He said, he's trying to find a set of those. And I wasn't sure if it was the same ones that I had. He says, you know, they're out of print. He says, every now and then I'll find one on eBay. But man, sometimes they want like $90 for one volume. And I'm going, well, what's the name of it? And I'm looking over at my bookcase. And he told me what it was. And I said, what year was it published? Who was the editor? Put it over there and said, I'll help you see if I can find some for you. It just never occurred to me, this, you know. And I was serious. I said, yeah, okay, I know what books you're talking about. And I'll keep an eye out. If I find any, I'll let you know. Hung up the phone. Clear as you're hearing my voice right now. He says, are you just going to keep Jim's books? I went, oh, I'm sorry, Jim, I have your books. Apparently, these are your books. The very next day, got them on UPS and off they went to Jim. What I'm trying to say, though, I remember those days trying to figure out the Word of God with my mind. Yes, 1 Corinthians 2, I mean, you guys know this. You could preach this as well as me, but it's good to be put in remembrance of these things. Oh, it's such a difference, though. See, and the intellect of man, it's really such pride that a fallen mind thinks it can understand an infinite God. You know, it's really pride. And starting 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. See, if we backed up a little bit, we could show that in the first and second chapter. I mean, Paul said the first time he came to them, He didn't try and teach these things. He said, no, there's only one message to the unborn again person, and that's Christ and Him crucified. See, my job as a teacher begins where the work of the evangelist ends. You've got to get them born again. Because until they're born again, they really have no capacity to understand the things of God. Paul says that right here, starting in verse 12. So when he says to this group here, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Notice that's a little S both times. That's correct. When you're born the first time from your mother's womb, you're born with the spirit of the world, the nature of Adam. While you have that nature, you can't understand the things of God. There's only one message to that person, and that's Christ and Him crucified. And you can talk about the Lamb and how He's, you know, they can understand that, you know, you're a sinner. Jesus died for you. He is the Lamb. You know, but they all have to center around Christ and Him crucified. Because until they get that nature, look what it says here. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God, that word freely there is so important. Not understanding that is what kept me outside the window throwing money at it, trying to get it open. But through the finished work of Christ, I have freely been given this inheritance that cannot be earned. It can only be received. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. How did Paul find out about these things? He learned them from the Holy Ghost. Over there in 1 Corinthians 14, he plainly says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Where do you think all that revelation knowledge came from? He says, I'm teaching you things that the Holy Ghost taught me. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know what that is right there? That's Chuck the Duck. It is. That's the parable of Chuck the Duck. Chuck the Duck was raised by chickens. Thought he was a chicken because they kept telling him he was a chicken. You know, so all, you know, even though he's really a duck, he's been taught chicken things his whole life. You know, he watches them peck the ground and get a worm. He takes that old flat bill, tries to peck the ground. It won't work. He keeps having this being drawn to the water, and his mother, every time he takes a step in that direction, that old hen just bats him, says, don't you ever go near that water. But then one day a duck shows up and says, you're not a chicken. You're a duck. Look at your bill. Look at my bill. Look at your feet. Look at my feet. Comparing duck things with duck things. He says, you have a drawing to the water because, come, look, you're not going to sink like a chicken. Come here. Follow me, boy. Gets him out there. Gets him on the water. The duck is now learning duck things, comparing duck things with duck things. And then finally one day, and this is where we're headed, finally one day that duck says, now look, flap your wings. Come on, flap them, flap them. Here they go across that water, and one day he lifts off. See, we're going through a metamorpho. Right now he's having me use that analogy of, okay, we may be caterpillars right now. With the image of Christ on the inside. And maybe we're earthbound pretty much, but if we keep going through this metamorpho, one day we're going to lift off. Revival will be here too. See verse 14? This is what I tried to do until 1992. That rhymes. This is what I tried to do until we got here in 92. I was trying to understand God primarily with my mind. This says the natural man, but it's the mind. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Oh my God, when I finally got that, then it's like all of Dave's teachings kind of went, they just lined up in my mind, and I went, oh my God, that's why they're praying in tongues. Spiritually discerned. I have finally got a teacher from that realm that can teach me directly from God the Holy Spirit to my reborn human spirit. Dave was so right. All those teachings that were so far over my head, suddenly they all lined up. When I'm praying in other tongues, truly I am seated in the classroom. And that finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, that is the Holy Ghost. And the wonderful thing about the Holy Ghost, He is God. He is all-knowing. He knows everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly. He knows your history. Remember when, I'm not going to go in, we're going to have time tonight. He taught me a lesson on faith from an elm tree that he knew I knew the entire life cycle history of that elm tree. I've never been the same since. I understand how you get substance from an unseen realm, starting with a seed. So much substance take you pickup loads in a week to haul it all away. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Where does that substance come from? For that elm tree, started with a little seed. Where did all that substance come from? A realm underground. It's a realm that you can't see. But all of that substance fed through that seed into the natural realm that you can see. You're never going to have a better lesson on faith in your life if you can understand it. This is the seed. This seed is the bridge between you and God. You plant this, Mark 4, you plant that in your heart. Don't let it be dug up. Don't let it go away. That seed will draw from an unseen realm that you can't see right now. Your healing, your prosperity, your health, your joy, whatever you need, but it comes by faith. That's what brings it through from the other side into this side. See? Remember, in the natural, I kept mowing that thing down. Y'all remember that when it was a little sapling? Well, my job was to mow the pasture, and we didn't have a single tree in the middle of anywhere in that pasture. And we got hot in those days, too. My dad said, would you quit mowing down that sapling? He said, we need a shade tree out there. So he had me build a little fence. You know what that is? You know what that little fence is? That's when you finally put a watch on your lips. You cutting down your own tree, running it down with a lawnmower every time you say, opposite to the Word of God. I didn't know for years what that part was. I kept mowing. We do the same thing. We mow it down with our own mouth. You know. How does faith work? Open your Bibles to Romans 4. Now, go look at Abraham. You take the word. I don't care how impossible your circumstances are. You be just like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Staggered not at the promise of God. Didn't matter to him the deadness of Sarah's womb or the deadness of his own. Didn't matter how bad the circumstances was if God promised it. He was well able to perform it. Willing to change his own name and say about himself what God said about him. Hallelujah. Y'all like this. You know what? I'm becoming a believer. What I mean is I'm getting to where I have more faith in the Word. Let me say it another way. I don't believe in incurable diseases anymore. I don't believe in impossible cases anymore. I really don't. I don't see how they can be. I can see how it can be without God. Prayed for another man. We're still in the middle of this one. I just got a partial report so far, but he's up in Canada next to the last service, and been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And they told me the number. Really high, scary high. So I just prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And I just told him plain, I don't believe in prostate cancer. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I understand the facts. But I said, I don't believe in incurable diseases. And I believe they already had him scheduled for surgery. And I said, you can have your full manifestation before that happens. And I just prayed for him. Of course, I didn't see anything visible. But I got a text from his pastor already that said it's come down like 5 points. That count, whatever that PSA thing is that they do, said it's more. In other words, it's more than half of what has to where it has to be by August 3rd. August 3rd is when I said, well, we'll get the rest of it. See, and I'm saying that not like I used to say it. There's something changed. Now we'll get the rest of it. God believes in healing. He doesn't believe in prostate cancer. You know, it's that good stuff. Good stuff. So I guess what I'm doing, I don't know if that Alan and Michael would have to teach again to say if I did any good. I've given up with my self-ego guy. I've given up trusting him to teach me, trusting him to make good decisions. I don't trust him to make good decisions. Who I trust is the Holy Ghost. And I trust the things he's taught me. And I'm sure there's good things taught by TV preachers. I'm probably just not going to find out. I found an excellent source that's never led me astray, never yet taught me anything wrong. I think I'm going to stay with him. Amen? So now, it's edification, when it says there in 1 Corinthians 14:2, put all that together. See, that's really what it means. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Well, the reason you get edified, Holy Ghost is shining that light around in there. He's also looking for false doctrine. If there's things you believe that are wrong, he's looking for that. And you keep praying, he will edify you out of it because he will deliver you from the false doctrine. And then once you really understand the truth, now you're in a position to edify the church. You can come to church and share less like I did. Did that bless you guys? But right on the other hand, people say I'm against the tithe. I'm not against the tithe. If you go, 10%. That's all it means, 10%. I think 10% giving is a good place to start. I think that's real good. What I am against is tithing or doing anything else under the law of Moses. Fear of a curse or to procure a blessing. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. Jesus already paid the price for that. You are an heir. We're trying to become what he's already made us. Let's say it another way. We're trying to walk in what he's already given us. Hallelujah. Alan was talking about us being like trees, fruit trees. Trees planted by the river of water. And he went to Jeremiah 17. We could have gone to Psalms 1. The man who meditates day and night is like a tree. See, the Holy Spirit uses everything that you have ever experienced. When Alan was teaching that today, I drove trucks for 6 years across the Mojave Desert. All across the West, out through desert regions, where, I mean, you can go for hundreds of miles and you don't see anything. But what Jeremiah said, there's not any trees there, just little shrubs. Boy, a big part of the Western United States is like that. And you can be driving along either Interstate 40 or Interstate 10 or 20. Nothing green for 100 miles. Then all of a sudden, just a little scrub brush here and a little scrub brush there. Then all of a sudden, you'll see a ribbon of green. And you'll see it. It's just in the middle of the desert. And it'll be like just this one area, it's not an oasis exactly. What it is, it's a river. And it'll be green. You'll see it from way off because there's nothing else green. And you'll go over a bridge and there it is and you can see it. Maybe just be a little creek, a little stream in the desert. But along both sides of it, trees are growing. And it doesn't matter that it's in a desert. And it doesn't matter that nothing around it is growing. Those trees are planted by the rivers of water. And the river is their source in the midst of the dry land. Now listen, I don't care about recession, but I'm telling you, this is why everybody that I know that's in full-time ministry, everybody, they go through their season to find out where are you planted. And you don't even know when you start. If you survive, you're going to wind up planted by the rivers of water. Or you become a greedy TV preacher. Well, something's going to be your source. Who has an Amplified Bible? Okay, let me look at John 5:30. Let me just read it to you for a moment. This is a preview of coming attractions. I hadn't even got to ask Michael about this yet. But I think if there was one verse in the Bible that tells how Jesus was free from that self guy, ego self nature, it's the Amplified Version of John chapter 5, verse 30. See, Jesus, his mind was like this. I am able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord. But only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge. And I decide as I am bidden to decide. Did you get that? As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, and righteous. Because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. That's Galatians 2:20. If I understand it right. That's Galatians 2:20. Now, Paul himself, when he says in Philippians, I do not reckon myself to have attained. This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press. There is a pressing. See, and I thank God for the tools. I never knew how to press. But I thank God for the tools here that help you press towards that. I know I'm not there. I'm more there than I used to be. Sue and I have lived in the same rented house for 26 years. Well, according to natural, normal, logical, a guy with an engineering mind shouldn't make such a stupid mistake as that. See, Gary, why have you lived there for 26 years? With all of my heart, I believe. That's where he told me to live. And that's the only reason I have for it. I don't have any other reason. I decide as, at least on that one. Now, not necessarily watched what I watched on TV yesterday. There's little decisions within the big decision. But I heard him say, you know. Say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Depends on what your value system is. Makes a lot of sense to me. He said, live there. That's right there is where I'm going to live. Yeah, but here comes the herds of yabbits. Yeah, but you could have had that house paid off by now. Yeah, just like everybody else on my block. Everybody I talk to on my block owes more on their house now than they did 25 years ago because they've refinanced and got second mortgages and done all that. I haven't found anybody yet who paid their house off on my block. But see, that's all beside the point anyway. The real reason that we're there is because with all my heart, I decide as I'm bidden to decide. Until he says move somewhere else, I ain't going anywhere else. Unless the landlord say go somewhere else. Now they could force me, I guess. But anyway, to me, that verse right there, that John 5:30, especially the way it is in the Amplified, that's God, I want to live there. That's the mark. That's where I'm pressing. To have that same mind in me that was in the Son of the Living God. You know, to have that mind. I desire to do nothing from my own will, my own ego guy, but only the will of him that sent me. Okay. Hallelujah.